Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters, and maybe a Twisted Mister or two. You never know. Anyway, hope everyone's having a great week so far. Hey, Pam. Hey, Naomi.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Naomi.
Hi.
Good to hear you both.
Good to be here.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, we're doing some time travel, huh?
We are, yes. I decided that after running across a quote by, I can't remember who, time travel, that it would make for an interesting topic. So, obviously, I didn't go with one specific artist or person. I grabbed, you know, several different quotes about time travel. Some were quotes from people that very clearly said it's not possible, and other ones were like from people who either wished it was possible or, you know, said that it was possible. And, of course, some artwork and told people they could write to one of the chosen, one of the prompts, or they could just write on to the topic of time travel. And it got a great responses. Great responses.
Mm-hmm.
Very.
Indeed.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Speaking of responses, I have a show for tomorrow night. I have 8 rights. So I opened it up to pre-rates. So I'm just going to say that out there. I'm throwing it out there. The Black Tie Affair. Nothing.
All right.
So anyway, that was it. Sorry. How did it?
That's a different dimension.
Yeah. So I have to sit down and write for it.
Thank you. So listen, Pam, we got two phone calls. Two callers from
online. Oh, awesome.
So let me see who we have, okay. We have a 909. Hey, 909, who's calling, please?
Hey, guys, it's Sucker.
Hey,
Sucker.
Hey, good to be with you guys.
Very good. Very good. It's good to have you. And then our second call is area code 785. Hello, 785. Who's calling, please?
Yes, this is Allison Hodges. I'm glad to be
here. Hi, Allison.
Hi, I'll be here for at least the first half.
Sounds good.
Okay. Excellent. Okay, Allison, it's good to have you here as well. And
thank you.
Yeah, whenever you're ready, you guys can do your thing.
All right. Well, I think I'm going to this time skip the classic intro poem and go straight to the art or the poetry that our all poetry poets provided, because we've got a great lineup and plenty of it. All right. So the first poem I'm going to put up is You Can't Change the Past, But Can We? By Darkened Auras. And Naomi, will you give that a read for us, please?
Sure. You can't change the past, but can we? And he wrote, it's written to the quote, if time travel is possible, where are the tourists from the future? Ever heard of people they say were ahead of their time? Maybe they were from the future, time traveling in their prime. Maybe they brought us things that in their time were bland. And we saw something shiny, new, and it came to be in high demand. They say, don't go into the past. It's something you can't change. But technologies of the future were at one point to us strange. So how do you know that the past wasn't changed by a time traveler who came back and showed off an invention that set us on a new track? End poem.
Wonderful read there, Naomi. What a great write by Darkened Auras. And Allison, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this poem.
Oh, I really liked it. And I am real partial to rhyming poems. And I thought the rhyme was done very well in this. It was not distracting, but it was well done. And I loved the concept it talked about. It's something I never thought of before with time travel, and I just thought it was really well written, and I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Great comment there. And Sucker, your thoughts?
I thought this was great. It facilitates a good the idea that if somebody came into the future and gave you a new tool, that it would influence everything after that. If we saw those tools without knowledge of them, it would be frightening or strange. So if this were about writing, it could mean that somebody resistant to learning poetic techniques could be influenced.
Yeah, I could see that. That's a great observation.
If somebody came and showed them the tools, they could be influenced and set them on a new track. Like if it's traveling forward or backwards in time is not possible as matter, but our minds or the track or the chain of events that is started by past things can be influenced. And I think that's sort of a form of time travel.
Yeah. And Phil, your thoughts? And
it's a very well written piece. I thought it was, I thought it was well penned and the thoughts were well expressed in it. And I like the rhythm and rhyme of the piece itself. It was nicely done. It was a great, what's the word I want? God, if these words, if they didn't escape me, I don't know what I would do. The only exercise I get is chasing them around. I thought that it was a great, I don't want to say a great take on the prompt, but it was a good angle to write on for the prompt. So just well done, and I appreciated the write very much, the dark and ours.
Yes, for sure, for sure. And Naomi, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, the poet mentions technologies in the poem, and technology goes so fast nowadays. We'd never have imagined. Well, when I was young, that we'd be talking to somebody, across the ocean on our cell phones. My gracious, it's like something from the Twilight Zone, So, and when I read this poem, I said, could be possible, maybe somebody dropped in I don't know. It's so surreal, to think of all that what we can do with technology today in so few years, how technology has just taken over the world. And who says that, it didn't come from the future, it's a future, But, this makes you really think, this poem, I had the word in French, but not in English. You can see it in everything around, you can associate. You can associate it to so many things around, whether it's technology, whether it's, other things also, even like Sucker said, types of writing, maybe, new writing that has blown up, throughout the ages. You can associate so many things. It's just a poem that makes you think, that all of these possibilities that remain and that are possible throughout time travel. So, really interesting and amazing right here by Dark and Doris.
Oh, I have to agree. And you've all made great comments and great observations. This is definitely a write that makes you think. And, as Allison says, has great rhyme and flow. And I too kind of thought along the same lines that Sucker did, is the idea of how the possibility of time travelers changing the course of history. And all you need is one person introducing something new to kind of make things spiral or turn into a different direction. This mm-hmm. is definitely an excellent thought-provoking write. I particularly like, they say don't go into the past, something you can't change, but technologies of the future were at one point to us strange. And I think that's a really great point there, because like you were saying, Naomi, at one point we never could have imagined the things that we do nowadays and practically take for granted. So excellent write and very well done.
Just our radio show.
Exactly.
All over the internet.
Yep. Very true. All right, and next we have Wishbone Wings by Freya. And Allison, would you give that a read for us, please?
Okay.
Are you on mute, Allison?
Sorry, I was.
All
I
right,
would love to read. Wishbone Wings. As a child, we saved the wishbone from turkey and chicken. Someday we would make a wish and pull the bone apart. Whoever got the middle would get their wish. What if you and I make the same wish to cross the cerulean sky together, to fly the giant, the great arcing blue-green crescent in the vault of the Earth's treasure, far above trauma, fear, vexation, following the oscillation of our own endless spring and perpetual fall, with nothing but poetry for updrafts. We fly, we eye the line between cold indigo above and wet indigo below. Our wingtips quell the turbulence as we travel, linked in navigation. Created together, all my journeys end with you. As our strong, perfect wings lift us above the illusion of mortality, of unthinking reality, in the fierce grace of our eyes, I know we can do it, to cross any sea and every mountain. I wait for the day, I wait for the night, with the certainty of time travelers, we return to each other restored, when our tomorrows open as today's, on a wishbone.
Wonderful read there, Allison. This is such a beautiful write by Freya, and it's one of those that shows that you can go many different directions in the idea of time travel. And sometimes a poem doesn't necessarily have to be about whether you think time travel is possible or not. It's the idea of wishing that it was possible. I do like the imagery, really like the imagery and metaphors throughout this, but I like that she starts out with the nostalgic thought, which of course brought me back to my childhood of, you know, breaking the wishbone and getting the wish if you got the bigger half. I really like how she keeps a consistency with that, with lines like we fly, you know, and as our strong, perfect wings lift us above the illusion of mortality, of unthinking reality, and the fierce grace of our eyes are just amazing lines. You know, I like how, to me, the main message of this is the idea of traveling those dreams that melt away the barriers of time and space. And I thought this was particularly very well done. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, this is has amazing imagery in it. And, you know, just the thought of it, you know, the thought that, you know, in our minds that we are travelers, you know, everyone, I think, you know, is what I got out of it anyway, is that, you know, with our minds, we can go anywhere. And we can, you know, we can fly sure, through our poetry, through our writing, through the wishes we make, the dreams we have. You know, we're all in some way time travelers. And, you know, just bravo. I just love this write.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Great comment. And Sucker, your thoughts?
I think it's great. I like how it starts off with the chance that you'll bigger into the wishbone and get to make a wish. And then the twisting of that into what if we just make the same wish? What if we don't give it up to chance and we intentionally go after something together? That life doesn't have to life or experience or happiness doesn't have to rely on those chances. And then she mentions trauma, just kind of following the rhythm of things, like things happen. This is what life was. This is the series of events, and that's what made you. And then you have poetry as an updraft, and then you can actually fly and develop an eye for the difference between things. And I like how wingtips sort of connect them in navigation, like they're together, created together through poetry.
Oh, absolutely. Great comment there. And Allison, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Well, it was a joy to read, and I really loved when all our tomorrows open as today. It gave me that sense of, or the recognition that, yes, we're all time travelers. We just do it literally. I think that's the right word, just in one line. We don't jump around. And I thought that that line really encompassed that. And when when the poet talks about being above the illusions of mortality, the unthinking reality, that fascinated me because it really made me think about how time fits in with, is our reality of time correct, and is morality really there? I just thought it was a really deep poem. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I have to agree. Well said there. And Phil, are you back with us?
I am. Yes, I am.
Nice.
It was a great write. Now, let me see if I can find what I wrote and where I wrote it. You know, yeah, it gets a little rough on me.
Oh,
I thought it was beautifully penned. I did, and I thought it was an excellent take on the chosen prompt. And I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great work. And before I let you leave me, we have Diane D with us. So hello, Diane. Welcome aboard.
Hi, gang. I had to call in. It was such a topic and such a prompt. I could not let it pass without calling in and commenting.
Oh, you know what? I totally agree, and I'm so glad you joined us. It's like a time traveling party. All right, very cool. And Diane, did you happen to read or hear Freya's poem?
No, my friend, I didn't. I was chatting it up with Phil.
No problem. I totally get that. I'll catch you on the next round.
Okay.
All right. Up next, we have The Masterpiece by Pee Wee Cousin, and Sucker. Would you give that a read for us, please?
Sure, yeah. The Masterpiece by Pee Wee Cousin. First we called it Masterpiece. Everyone gazed up in awe at your marvel of technology, which became a doomsday clock. Masterpieces fall away, and hands hold no more time. A spot of yarn in the stream of time, watch it all unwind. Oblivious to oblivion calling, freed from death and pain, you want to return yourself, but efforts are always in vain. You remember it staring, or which, or where, or when. Here you are stuck in infinity, you know to it there's no end. All the suffering and madness, trying to undo what you've done, as you watch it all keep fading away. For you, there is no one. No one left to unravel. Blocks have all been unwound. Mistakes made in your travels. What you've lost cannot be found. So you traded all humanity for your magic time machine. But lost in this loop of tragedy, no longer is it your dream. Seconds slip away backwards. Minutes don't mean a thing. You now pass by your hours while playing jacks and going insane. End poem.
Wonderful. Wonderful read there, Sucker. And Diane, let's start with your thoughts.
Absolutely. The title grabbed me, The Masterpiece. For time, I mean, that the clock is the masterpiece, right? And I just love the wording throughout, the imagery, the it's powerful in its grasp of time and tragedy. You know, a doomsday clock, it's haunting that we see it as a doomsday clock. And the masterpiece has to be that instead of something that is related to not doomsday, the opposite, right? It's just, it was really well written. And the wordplay, I love oblivious to oblivion calling. The wordplay in here is just amazing and really, really well done. Great, right?
It really is. Absolutely. Great comment. And Allison, your thoughts?
Yes, I was really interested in what the author had to say about, I got a sense of when he said, the poet says, mistakes made, oh, clocks have all been unwound, mistakes made in your travels, what you've lost cannot be found. This poem struck me as if the person couldn't change the past, and the time travel seems like it ended up being pointless for this person. I did like the way with words that's in this poem. I like all the stuff and madness trying to undo what you've done, because I think we all do that. And like someone mentioned earlier, we travel time in our mind and then are powerless to do anything about it. So it was a really good poem. Thank you.
It really, really was. Excellent comment there. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know, you can either take this poem on a, you know, an individual, personal level, you know, talking about to the one person, or, you know, people that are going through, you know, a hard time over and over and over again, and they're just like stuck in a loop. Or you can take it also, I think, as a, you know, as the world, as society in general, that, you know, we keep on making the same mistakes again and again. We never learn from history. Seems that the same mistakes, the same wars, the same, you know, everything comes back and comes back and back and back. So I think we can take it on both levels here, which is, you know, awesome about this, right? And it's so well written too, and so thought provoking. So bravo, bravo, Pee Wee Cussin on this, right?
Yes, I have to agree with you. It definitely can be taken on both a personal level and a global, a wider
global level. That's yes.
Excellent commenting. And Dr., you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
I agree with Naomi. First, I sort of read it as like a rumination on like grasping towards whatever archetype a masterpiece is, like things that people pointlessly look up to, or worshiping technology, and then the doomsday clock sort of insinuates like the destruction of society or something like that. But it also insinuates like a destruction of like thinking or the way you are or your intentionality as you move through the world. Because having like a masterpiece, maybe like a fine painting from the past, holding it in your hands, like it isn't going to mean anything. So you're kind of losing my train here, but I think the third and fourth stanzas kind of unravel, show how intangible it is to like think about or grab the concept of time, or the concept, or the our place in the flow of time.
Oh, absolutely. That is very true. The concept of time isn't always easy to grasp, even though it sounds deceptively simple. So, excellent comment. Yeah, I really liked this. I liked how it could be taken on the idea of, you know, wanting to go back and fix your own mistakes but not being able to. I also like how it comes across to me as a story about someone who invents a time machine. And at first, they're a hero to everyone, practically idolized and worshipped. And then as they go through their time travels, they begin to realize the effects that they have on history and how the idea of, I like the idea of being trapped in that vicious cycle over and over again. I thought really this was an excellent dark write on the idea of living through a time loop of tragedy. And I really like this all the way through, but especially so you traded all humanity for your magic time machine, but lost in this loop of tragedy. No longer is it your dream. Wonderful lines there and very well done. All right. And
that was a good comment. That really brought it together for me.
Yes. Yep. You're right. It did. It did. That's for sure. It did bring it all together really nicely. And, all right. And say hi to a couple of people in the room. All right. It is good to see people hanging on the board, as always. All right. And up next we have Railroad Silence by Silent Tree. And Diane, would you give that a read for us, please?
I would love to read that, Pam. Railroad Silence by Silent Tree. Shipwrecked cork bottles of hourglass sand. Gates whispered shadows in railroad silence. Neon signs quiver folding split board displays. Suitcase trails echo the journeys child to man. The pandemic revenues of bulletproof masks, stay-at-home orders, alcohol statuettes erase. Cognition futures twist history's turnstile. Culture's blood course foreign cemetery lanes. Bright eyes burn fractures in fragments of loss, twining as space consumes time. Ghosts haunt clock faces of vacant motel signs. Galaxies vanish slowly from under his gaze. A folding fresh origami bones gathering grain. Stained glass mirror windows to distant worlds. The celestial sandstones of stone stellar pearl. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Diane. You know, I really thought this one had very beautiful and intriguing imagery. I think when it comes to imagery and metaphors, Silent Tree is quite creative. There was, I think, a certain spirituality to this write that I appreciated. And it makes me think of the idea of the dark courses, the dark things that happen throughout the flow of history. It just can't seem to be changed, like shipwrecks and pandemics. And the idea, even there's a certain darkness in the idea of the loss of life. Galaxies vanish slowly from under his gaze, a folding flesh origami bone gathering grain, stained glass mirror windows to distant worlds. It has a very dark Alice in Wonderland type feel to it. And I enjoy and appreciate that. It's very well done. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, me too. I thought it was like a masterful, twisting of the language, you know, words put together that we wouldn't see usually, you know. Just amazing, some of these lines along the way. Suitcase trails echo You know, and then the neon lines, quiver folding, split board displays. And what else do we have in here? Stop, watch, bell, footstep signals, afterlife glaze. You know, the and I also love the folding flesh origami, bones gathering grains. You know, that yeah, there's all these dark elements all throughout. You know, you just feel the darkness. But, you know, it's also very intriguing, you know, right? Because I was really, you know, captivated by the whole thing. Every line, I was just there, you know, mesmerized by all these turns of phrases and the way that these metaphors, they're just out of this world. So, you know, really, really interesting right here. And, you know, very thought-provoking too, you know, like you said. You know, he talks about cog machine, future twist, histories, turnstiles, cultures, blood, course, foreign cemetery lanes. So, you know, I guess that goes along with, you know, the feeling of, you know, how history and how it affected us and still affects us today, you know, the way the world is turning and everything. So, yeah, just an amazing, amazing write here. Bravo.
Absolutely. Great comment and definitely a good point made about the importance of history. So well said. And Allison, your thoughts?
I really like this poem, and I've been trying to listen, but also rereading it and rereading it. There's so much there, and so each couple of lines makes me stop, and my mind goes off. The cog machine futures, twist histories, turnstiles, culture's blood, course foreign cemetery lanes. I loved that. It really made me think about, I went to Gallipoli once and they had the Turks buried on one side and Australians buried on the other. And that was all about cultures clashing and the blood and how the blood courses foreign cemetery lanes. It just brought a vivid image to my mind. And I've looked at some others and they're doing the same thing. They're just so deep that I can't really say much more than that right now. It's definitely worth rereading many times. Thank you.
Absolutely. Great comment there. And Sucker, your thoughts?
I agree that this poem should be read and reread and thought about. It's really complex. But I do read it sort of as the progression of time and how different elements that we can experience are like affected by it or just the mechanism underlying it. Almost like a progression of technology, like neon signs, quiver folding, split board displays, like the neon sign replaces the split board display. I imagine, it makes me think of being lost or wandering in the world. The suitcase sails echo the journeys, child to man. And then so that's like the narrator's place or the person or the idea that of a person in time that the author is trying to express, and then it moves to the pandemic revenues of bulletproof masks, like a type of effect that time has because it permeates the entire world, surrounds everything. Cog machine futures, histories, turnstiles, culture blood, course foreign cemetery lanes. Like it's the idea that we don't really notice things that are foreign to our type of thinking or the way that we think. And then it moves on to Bright Eyes Burn, Fractures and Fragments of Loss. And I think I am struggling with that, but still. It's like really empty. Not empty in and of itself, but it's like a deep emptiness that, like, something that we cannot grasp. It's too big for the mind to get a hold of. Like the mechanics of big, big things like stars and planets, or minute things like fragments of loss. Like, it's super, there's a lot of tension and contradiction.
That is true. That is true. Really great observations there. I like that. And Diane, right? Was it Diane? Did you read that one, Diane?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And you did do a wonderful read of it. I remember that now. And your thoughts?
Well, you know, Pam, you triggered for me when you said it took you to Alice in Wonderland. It gave you that feel. And when I read this, just a few lines of it, there was a few that gave me that Salvador Dali feel. It took me to the same place in my mind that a Salvador Dali piece of art would take me. And one of those phrases, this is the very first one, and you know me, I'm a sucker for opening phrases. And this one caught me: shipwrecked cork bottles of hourglass sand. I love that. And it gave me that image. It took me to that place, that abstract place that I can only go when something like this takes me there. And then I just have to comment on the title, Railroad Silence. Now, isn't that, you know, a Salvador Dali thing? Because Railroad Silence, that all depends on time. There's times when that railroad is certainly not silent. And then there's times when railroad silence is there and it's heavy. It's like you look at the tracks, nothing's moving. So I love how he used that title and that image to capture time and to capture the moving through time and moving through history. It was a beautiful write and really well written.
Absolutely. I like that. That is really a cool thought there. And you're right. It does have the kind of surrealism imagery that fits very well with a Salvador Dali painting. So very cool comment. And great comments, everybody. Up next, we have Mind Meld by Weaver of Dreams. And we have a recording for that whenever you're ready, Jean.
Okay, here we go.
I was very ill, clinically dead for 2 minutes. Then I came back to discover this ability that ruined my life. It enabled me to see into the nasty, dirty depths of depravity all around me. And I felt that a lot of my neighbors and friends had become alien to me. If you could read someone's mind by brushing against them, you'd become aware that people are dangerous deep down, outwardly friendly, but inside, malevolent, evil, time-traveling aliens. Not everybody, but enough that I wanted to leave town. I'd always thought no one knew until tonight. As I stood at the bar, a hand touched mine. I heard in my mind, "Don't react, stay calm, or we're both dead. Get to the car, we have to leave now." I turned to find, smiling, but with fear and terror in his eyes, my brother Sam. "Hi, Mum says supper's ready." We stole out, then ran. We jumped into the car, it screeched away. Dad said, "You muttered you had heard vile aliens in your sleep." I started then to prepare to leave town. So far, they're only here. Now we have to warn the world to be prepared.
Great reading right there, Weaver. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And just a friendly reminder, everyone, if you're unable to call in, then the next best thing is to make a recording of your poem, because then we get to hear your poetry in your voice. And Sucker, let's start with your thoughts.
I was struggling to conceptualize this one at first, but I feel like it's sort of like a death of like healthy, of mental health or something. Like a, it reads to me like somebody who is you know, somehow losing their grip and seeing everything as nasty and bad and being unconnected to people, and then creating some sort of system of thought that justifies that people are dangerous and bad. Like it's they think people are fake. They're outwardly friendly, but they're really some evil time traveling aliens. I don't really understand. I'd always thought my secret was safe until tonight. But one, the thing that made me reach out towards the mental health issue or the pathological thought that people are awful and there's some big, grand thing underlying it is when his brother touched his hand and he saw the fear in his eyes. Just to tell him that dinner was ready, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I like that observation. I like that take on a thought that you get, the idea of somebody who's dealing with perhaps like a paranoia and the idea of a breakdown of the mind. So excellent comment there. And Diane, your thoughts?
I totally enjoyed this. This is a great write by our girl, Kate. And Kate is such a phenomenal storyteller. I mean, how she starts out with, you know, she was clinically dead, came back to life and had this ability. And to be able to take it and to call it mind milled, because that's what it is how she describes it. Mind milled is what goes on in our minds when, what if we brushed against people and we could feel into their thoughts, what deep down who they are. And there's none of the Kate works that ever come by without that little bit of humor in there. And her last line in that second stanza, not everybody, but enough that I wanted to leave town. That's such a Kate statement. And I love it. It was great. I enjoyed the story. I enjoyed the wordplay and the concept of dying, coming back, and then being able to zap into people. It's just wicked. It's a great concept, Kate. I love it.
Absolutely.
I like that a lot more. That it, like, really is an ability and true instead of, like, a mental disorder, that, like, the way I read it.
Yeah, well, I think I do think this is a story poem. But I do think that with all poetry, there's different ways that poems can be perceived. So open to interpretation. Naomi.
Yeah, well, right away I said, wow, this would make a great series for sure. You know, she totally captivated me, you know, like what Diane said, you know, from the first line of being clinically dead and then coming back to discover that she has this ability, you know. This would make it totally like a great series for TV for sure, you know. And she has such a creative mind, Kate, a weaver of dreams, you know, that pull the storytelling off every time and making it so captivating. So just bravo, another great tale told.
Absolutely, absolutely. Great comment. And Allison, your thoughts?
I absolutely loved it. My one wish was that it had gone on longer because I wanted to know more. I wanted to know more. And it's good sometimes when a poem does that. It leaves it to your imagination. And I like what was said about there's more than one way to interpret a poem because I try to write mine that way so that people can read into it how they want. When she talks about being, or he, when the poet talks about being clinically dead, coming back and discovering an ability that ruined her life, that just grabbed me. I was clinically dead and brought back to life, and I got it that it breaks something, and when you come back, the world looks different. So she just had me from the get-go, and the whole thing of yes, there was a lot of paranoia in it, but I thought the whole thing where the brother came in and told her to get in the car, they'd both be dead. I thought that sort of solidified that what she was seeing was real. And then I just wasn't sure about the ending. I didn't want it to go on, but I thought it was a beautiful piece. Thank you for sharing it with us.
Yes, and I agree with you that what I think she needs to do is provide us with a part two, maybe a part three, and that would be really cool. But, yeah, I did like that she left the end hanging, like kind of left us in suspense, left it open to interpretation. And, yeah, this is an excellent dark sci-fi write, and I like how the main idea is that unwanted gift to see evil and the burden that comes with it. And like you said, Allison, that one part with the brother really solidified that what the character was seeing wasn't all in their mind. So excellent write and very well done. And let me go ahead and pick one up. And all right. And I have your poem up, Allison. Go ahead and give it a read for us, please. Are you on mute, Allison?
Yes, I was. Sorry about that.
No problem. Happy to the best of us.
I just want to say that my poem came from my belief. I don't believe in time. I think it's an invention to organize data that humans have come up with. And so sometimes it gets broke. So this is the poem, Unstuck from Time. Unstuck from time, floating through the framework of reality, unfettered by the day, I danced from east to west and north to south in time. What whirling dervish spun out a top skittering across the time stages unlocked, floating like a bobber I rode across the sands. Unfurled from time's chains, my mind free to wander aimlessly where it willed, I skated through time back and forth, stopping at times to pay a visit along the way. It's not linear, the path I follow, but rather a brilliant moment containing all. As I call out to younger selves, words spoken by a crusty sage just passing through. They say I have dementia, casting my confusion into ever-expanding time loops. I say I am finally free of the never-ending monotony of time. As the days slide away and all my life lies before me, waves upon a sea, I float gently across the waters, basking in the brilliance gained from an untimed life. End poem.
Great read and write there, Allison. You know, and I have to completely agree with you. I mean, time, or at least the labeling of time, is a man-made invention. There is a flow and a twisting of time that is really difficult for the human mind to grasp and comprehend. And so we need to put on labels. But I think that's what we do with a lot of people, a lot of ways of thinking, a lot of things. We have to put labels on in order that we can more easily grasp it. I really like the imagery in this, the what whirling dervish spun out atop spinning around across timescape, all latches unlocked, floating like a bobber, I rode across the sands. There's something very magical and mystical in that imagery. And I like where they say that I have dementia, casting my confusion to ever-expanding time loops. I say I'm finally free of the never-ending monotony of time. I think that part is particularly moving because of the idea of how people with dementia or Alzheimer's oftentimes do live more in the past than in the present. And I think, you know, that part works really well for anybody who has, like, different ways of thinking, you know, the autism, dementia, you know, the idea that, that people who don't necessarily think in the idea of labels. I also really like, as the days slide away and all my life lies before me, waves upon a sea, I float gently across its waters. What a beautiful and relaxing way to think about time rather than in a rigid structure. Excellent write and very well done.
Thank you.
And, yeah, and Naomi, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I was just like I was in a spa. You know, just in the hot tub there, and just my mind elsewhere, and not you know, out of body experience with this poem. You know, it just there's so much movement throughout it. It just makes you just float and go elsewhere. You know, than outside of these boxes that man has created for himself, and just fly, you know, fly away. And you know, that last stanza, you know, that Pam just recited, as the days slide away and all my life lies before me, waves upon a sea, I float gently across its waters, basking in the brilliance gained from an untimed life. You know, I just love that last stanza, the way you finish the whole thing out. And, you know, your title, Unstuck from Time, I just thought that was just amazing. So, yeah, it's just like, you know, out of this world experience, the whole poem, and it's just very well done, very beautifully written, and wonderful lines throughout. Amazing write here, Allison.
Thank you so much.
Great comment, Naomi. And Diane, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, actually, excellent comment, Naomi. It's so true. Where we go with time. And I love how you put this together, Allison, unstuck from time. What a powerful feeling to be unstuck from time, and how you describe it, and what whirling dervish spun out, atop skittering across the timescape, all latches unlocked. And this I love, floating like a bobber, I rode across the sands of time. And, you know, time is so controlling and time is so intimidating, or it can be if we let it, right? And you mentioned you don't like to be stuck with time. You think it's an invention, and you describe it so well, how a bobber is not going to conform to time or anything else. A bobber in the ocean. And I love that you used water so much in this piece, beautiful imagery in it. And a bobber in the ocean doesn't conform to anything. So great metaphor, great description of taking control of time.
Great comment, Diane. And Sucker, your thoughts?
I love this poem. I think it's so deep and touches on a really fundamental truth that time is maybe like a one-way street. It just goes, happens. Not a condition. It's like a way that people cope with the reality of life, like a model or something. A few of my grandmothers had delusion or dementia, and I think that's sort of a parallel, that when our certain regions of the brain deteriorate, we can't remember the past, we lose our memories, we can't generate or project our intention into the future. But because we're human and we use these heuristics and biases to make sense of our life and our reality, and because we have certain biases that give us too much credit over our control of good things and maybe too little credit over control of bad things that happen in our lives, that we have this illusion that time is changeable, but the past and the future are just going to be, we don't have any control of it, even if it seems like we do.
Great thoughts shared there. Wonderful comments, everybody. And Allison, I'm very glad that you were inspired, and I'm glad that you called in. And however long you want to stick around for the rest of the show is good with me. And thank you very much. All right. And up next, we have The Future is a Blunder by J.K. Emack. And it goes like this. Tick-tock, an arrow marks the spot. The timer strikes 2400 o'clock, warped, flown, and flung into a continuum of moving space. A body thins in the throes of flashing through lights and beepers, deep propelling forward. A body lands in a foreign land. Andromeda winks from the sky. The sun blazes in blue lights out, but the sky reflects no light. A man in a spacesuit waves a flag, informing us he's landed. In the distance, a tentacled beast slithers along with a row of snails. The spaceman slips on its slime. Dread settles on an explorer, but he wonders where the once green and blue place he called home had gone to. The vision once thought of, the future dreamt of, is not what the eyes lay upon. This crushing weight begins to weigh heavy on a mortal brain. Feet scurry to the machine, for they belong in 2022. A man is met with anticipatory faces. With the come down and land, he walks off as grim silence is all that he can muster. End poem. And Allison, your thoughts on this, right?
Okay, I'm still kind of absorbing it.
Sure, if you need time, I can.
Yeah, I need time. I'm sorry.
Sure, no problem. No problem. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I think, J.K. Mack really had fun, writing this one. Tick-tock starts off, an hour mark the spot, the timer strikes 2400 o'clock. Just the way it's written all the way through, and this in the distance a tentacle beast slithers along with a row of snails, the spaceman slips on its slime. It's really amazing, poem written poetically, but, you know, a tale told nonetheless. And, you know, I think she had fun. And she says she had fun, too. I had a lot of fun with this one. That's what she says in the A.N. A man is met with anticipatory faces with the come down and land. He walks off as grim silent as all he can muster. And, you know, he's from 2022. And what struck me also is that the vision once thought of, the future dreamt of, is not what the eyes lay upon, and that he wonders where the once green and blue, the place he called home, had gone to. And, you know, this takes me to, you know, all the speak of exploring Mars and exploring everywhere and looking for a planet that's inhabited. And, you know, maybe if in a future, maybe our planet will be, you know, not a welcoming place for us anymore, and we'll have to find a new home. And this just put me in that state of mind of visiting elsewhere, and whether we'll be welcomed or not, and whether we'll be needing a new home, and whether we'll find one. So, you know, it put me away in the future. So very cool, right, J.K. McMack. And bravo, bravo. Excellent story told here.
Absolutely. You know, I have to agree with you. I saw that same thing, especially when it mentioned the place of, like, blue and green, as he wondered where the once green and blue place he called home had gone to. So, you know, instantly you get that idea of the destruction of planet Earth into something no longer recognizable. Yeah, it's definitely an excellent story, right? I thought it had a great atmosphere in it, and it was a wonderful combination of science fiction and horror suspense, but also a touch of reality as we think about how the world is polluted. So excellent, right, and very well done. And Sucker, your thoughts?
I see the planet moving thing, but I kind of read it. Can't help it. I always think of poems as being about writing. Thinking or trying to gain some sort of more controlled thinking or knowledge. So I imagine this person warped, flown, and flung through this continuum of things that move, and then his body or whatever you want to call it thinned out. And then the lights and beepers keep propelling forward. I think of as just like little triggers in the world that sort of subtly influence somebody to do a certain thing. And then they find themselves in this foreign land, and then there's Andromeda up there winking at you. They come and save her. Sun's blazing. You're still trying to wave your flag from home, but it doesn't really mean anything. And then there's this beast in the background, and you're slipping on slime, and you get scared. Like, it's confusing. It's terrifying. You don't have a home anymore, like your preconceptions or your narrative doesn't make sense anymore. The future that you thought you wanted is a planet that doesn't exist anymore. And then you realize that you have nothing to say, and you walk off. I don't know. That's how I read it. I don't know if that's necessarily the next thing or landing.
Oh, great thoughts shared. I like that. Very cool. And Diane, your thoughts?
I enjoyed this one. The future is a blunder. J.K. did probably have a lot of fun with this, and I enjoyed the journey that she took us on. Right out from the where the timer strikes 24 o'clock. I think that was just cool that she chose 24 o'clock as the future, because the 24-hour clock is, I don't know too many, is the future when you think of the 24-hour clock and warped and flown and hung. And then she describes so well moving through space and the journey toward the future, but it's a blunder. I mean, she expected a man in a spacesuit would wave a flag saying, I've landed, and ended, you know, everything would be sun blazes and blue lights. Everything would be blue lights and a body in a foreign land. And then to have to meet the future and realize what a blunder it is that the vision once thought of on. Just excellent journey. Great, great story again here. And I love how she took us through time into the future. And one more thing, the future being for 2022, when I was young, you know, 2022 would have been the time when I saw the man on the moon with the flag. And that's what I would have imagined. 2022 would never have, I would never have imagined me in 2022 or us or the world, right? But
right.
Great story, great, right.
Great point there. Great point. And Allison, would you like to make a comment?
Yes, I would. I got really confused in the poem, and that's because I got tied up in the man in a spacesuit waves a flag informing us he had landed, and my mind went to when we landed on the moon. So I was in the past, and I missed a whole bunch of it. But after people commented and I went back and read it, I really love it. I just got off on the wrong track. That happens when I'm tired. And
so I totally get it. Me too.
And I thought the last two stanzas were just incredible, because the whole idea of the vision that you had in your mind meets reality, and it crushes your brain. You're just like, and then there's just silence. And I loved the way that was written. It was just beautiful. Very good word choices and adjectives and stuff like that. I just thought it was great.
Yeah, I have to agree. Great comment. And great comments, everybody. Thank you.
Something in the light during their comments. I'm going to see a different take now.
Oh, cool.
Yes. So now I kind of think of it as if you're arriving in the future, and maybe you had this false idealism, and the man in the spacesuit is like the false idealism that you're just going to make it. Things are going to be fine, and then the future is the beast. And then once you arrive, the future dreamt of is not like what you thought you were going to get.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, that's a good point. That is a good point. It's not always what we expect. So, great comments. And before we move on to the next poem, Jean, do we have anybody on hold?
Why, yes, we do. We have Gray Eyesmith. So let me pick Gray up. Hey, Gray. Welcome
Hi,
to
Bill.
The party.
Hi, Pam. Hi, Naomi, Allison, and I'm not sure who else is on.
Sucker for the treadmill. But hi, Gray. Glad you could join us.
Thank you.
Very hi,
cool.
Gray.
Hi, Gray.
Hi,
Allison.
Hi.
All right. And go ahead and move in. Oh,
so
okay, Allison.
You guys time.
Sounds
thanks
good.
For
all right.
Join.
Well, you have a good night. Take
good
care.
Good night, Allison.
All right. And up next, we have Singles, Signs, and Signatures by Eric Svensson. And we do have a recording for that. So whenever you're ready, Jean.
Signals, Signs, and Signatures. Signed with a kiss, ley lines on planet Earth, railway, vagabond hearts, mind caboose, my opt for sideline spaces, adhere to red signal prohibiting travel, but rebel hearts Bolero revel, caged hearts in cahoots with conductor, solarplexus, linear time construct, brain structure, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, sealed with a kiss, hypnotic car, eyes beguile, forked tongue soothes Mowgli, all is not as it seems, intrepid toddler steps into time travel, little heart's prelude of Ravel's Bolero, Jungle Book a splendid time travel capsule, bare necessities fire up the heart engine, overrules the caboose in case, sidetracked mind, signed, sealed, and delivered with a kiss, the tyranny and ecstasy of love, time travels us, the profanity and sanctity of becoming one, culminates in majestic movement, Ravel's Bolero, tidal wave crashes over us, tsunami purge, submerged in time travel, we dolphin, harmonics, histrionics, and history, librarian mind caboose, records stark facts, strict stenographer bun pulled tightly back, vagabond time traveler heart cuts itself wide berth slack. Signed, sealed, delivered and safeguarded. Solar plexus, conductor baton, metronomes, gnomes, domes and snow white doves. Black satin gloves at the opera. Nascent narker, pulls plunge, crushed velvet stage curtains tremble, anticipation trebles, time travelers, we lean into each other, your signature scent unlocks the boarding gate, interstellar travel opens up with the first strains from the orchestra pit, Romeo and Juliet, Montagues and Capulet, love's ley line ends all family feuds. Emperor.
Great read and write there, Eric. Thank you so much for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Gray, since you're the new kid on the block, let's start with you.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was fascinating, right? The read was epic. But, you know, it really speaks to the battle that one has in their mind over whether or not to go back in time to re-experience what they previously experienced. So I thought it was a very fascinating poem.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a good point that you make there, is it's not so much oftentimes whether or not time travel is possible, but if it were possible, would it be ethical and beneficial to go through with it? So that's a good question, good point that you bring up. And Diane, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I love Eric's work, and this one is no exception. He just creates so much in my mind, so many places I can go, and time travel is not a place that I've not tried to go to in my mind before, but he helped me get there through some of his choice of words, you know, adhere to red signal prohibiting travel. Time travel, we can be stopped in our tracks in time travel, but at the same time, I realized, and I like how he used Ravel's Bolero to bring in so much of time travel and to bring in the metaphors and the imagery, caged heart in cahoots with conductor solar plexus. And then right down below again, Little Heart's Prelude of Ravel's Bolero, Jungle Book, a splendid time travel capsule. And that took me to a place of where books, exactly. We travel through time, but I don't think we realize it. But when I sleep, I'm traveling through time. When I get caught up in a good book and I don't come out of it for 3 hours later, I'm traveling through time. And it takes me on a journey that I never expected to go on, depending on the book, depending on the movie, depending on whatever I'm using to travel through time without being interrupted. And I love how he brought me to that place. And in this journey here, he travels through time. He actually travels through time, and it was excellent. Well done written for the prompt.
Absolutely. Very cool. I like that thought. The idea of time traveling through books and movies, very true. And Naomi, your thoughts.
Yeah, well, you know, the first thing that struck me was the ley lines or lie lines, or however you pronounce them, you know, that this supernatural lines that connect the universe through these famous monuments and landmarks, you know, that are there throughout the world. And, you know, if you take Stonehenge or if you take the Great Pyramids of Giza or you know, all these, you know, like this supernatural or things out of this world that are, you know, that are unexplained that exists on our planet. I just love that he brought that into this poem. And, you know, signed with a kiss. You know, how many, like, you know, and Diane was referring to great literature, you know, how many of those great plays and those great books are really signed in a kiss? You know, if you take Romeo or Juliet or, you know, some of the big, great Shakespearean plays and or other books, you know, how many of them, you know, that they sign out with a fatal kiss there. But, you know, so I like those different elements of this right here. But, you know, he packed so many thought-provoking things into this poem. Just amazing. He took us all over, you know. He really traveling in time just to read this. So just amazing, Erik Svensson again, master of the English language again, and you know, just amazing right here.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I have to agree. Yeah, I really like the imagery and metaphors in this. The L-E-I, that is pronounced lei. It's actually, you ever seen people when they go to Hawaii and they got those flower necklaces?
Mm-hmm.
That's what a lei is.
Okay, but there's also another lei, L-A-A-E-Y, but ley lines that cross over, but maybe it wasn't, maybe, yeah. Okay.
Oh, I didn't swim with words. Oh, okay. Oh, cool. We'll learn something new. All right.
Yeah, the ley lines on planet Earth that go, but, you know, maybe it's the one that you're referring to, too. But
yeah,
there's also other ones that connect, like I said, supernatural places across the Earth. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And but, I bet he's doing a play with words, which he often does, which is very cool.
Could be. Yeah.
Yep. But no, I like how he has references to the movies and books. I like the idea of time traveling through those experiences. I like the mention of the Jungle Book and the hypnotic eyes of Ka, the snake, and how there's something very almost hypnotic about time traveling. I also like the end where he mentions Romeo and Juliet, Montagues and Capulet's love ley line ends all family feuds. The idea that the history can be not completely changed, but the idea that like fights and family feuds and ugliness can be ended through the idea of love and, you know, reaching out towards each other. So excellent write and very well done. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to put the next poem up and I'll catch you on the next round, sucker. And all right. Up next, we have your poem, Diane. So go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
All righty, I can do that. Are we chasing time or is time chasing us? Back when book Islands of Escape and words on a page made time stand still, my illusion of time was that I can kill time but not do any harm whatsoever to eternity. I wore youth like a shadow wears the dark and turned that old hourglass upside down. In my teen years, I was living in a deja vu, a crack through which light from my past spurred. I froze time and lived in 1 second forever, just a single dot on the galaxy like a fat beast. Humans will chase time up until they realize it doesn't take time to die. It takes life to die. Time does to us what time does bananas. Time that weathers an ice cube will wither me. Time passes without even asking permission. The past increases as the future diminishes. A train that never stops at a station is time. But the train isn't life's only method of travel. From day one to day now, it's a straight line. It doesn't move in a circle as a clock implies. End poem.
Wonderful read and write, Diane. I'm glad you were inspired. I thought this was a wonderful thought-provoking write. You delve into so much and the idea of deja vu and the at the end where you say, you know, that time is not shaped like a, it doesn't move in a circle as a clock implies. This is amazing imagery and metaphors. I do like the title, how it gives us the idea of is are we in charge of time or is time in charge of us? I really like, I froze time and lived in 1 second forever, just a single dot on the galaxy like a fat bee. Humans will chase time up until they realize it doesn't take time to die. It takes life to die. So, you know, you make a really profound statement there in the idea of how we shouldn't be so much worried about time, but itself, but rather in how we're using our time at our, you know, here on Earth. And so wonderful, right, and very well done. And
thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And Sucker, your thoughts.
I feel like the core of the poem is that it takes life to die too. It's a really insightful thought. When we're kids, we are killing time. We're just kind of like doing stuff and we don't really think about the future, the past so much. But we don't really have much to lose. And then as you grow older, you realize that life is short. And that there are other ways to grow and live. the past accumulates, you know, and it feels like you have less time. Yeah. There's an idea here, but I cannot grab it directly. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Great comment. And
thanks,
Naomi, your thoughts.
Well, I like, Diane, how you take us through, you know, a bit of your life here, you know, in this poem, you know, from the time when books were islands of escape. You know, I know that time well because, you know, I was a real, you know, I was in the library all the time and in bookstores and, you know, and I always had my nose in a book. I was a real nerd growing up. And, you know, books were my escape. So I know that time. And then, you know, you take us to where youth like a shadow, where's the dark, and turn that old hourglass upside down. And, you know, you're living in a deja vu. And then, you know, something happened that time froze on you, you know, and you were lived in 1 second forever. I just love that. Just a single dot on the galley. And then, you know, you bring it all, you know, all together with those last stanzas there that are just amazingly well written. It's so superb. You know, a train that never stops at a station is time, but the train isn't life, only method of travel from day one to day now, straight line. It doesn't move in a circle, as a clock implies. You know, that is just a fabulous ending there. But, I mean, you know, you really made us travel throughout this poem and you know, put little pieces of yourself into this poem. And just a superb write, Diane. I really, really enjoyed it. It was so captivating.
Thanks, girl. Wonderful comment, Naomi. And Gray, your thoughts.
Oh, sorry, I really liked it. You did a wonderful read on it as well. But, you know, I like the way you capture time in a straight line, you know, with the past building and the future diminishing. You know, like we're on the downslope of a mountain. And, yeah, I thought it was fascinating, very introspective and deeply penned.
Mm-hmm.
Thank Absolutely. You, sir. Absolutely. Great comments, everybody, and I'm very glad that you were inspired, Diane. Up next, we have The Twin of Time by Arcana Amore, and we have a SoundCloud for that, so whenever you're ready, Jean.
Time trickles to a melodious orchestra of events. Within each ticking moment, it winds through a passage. Whether forwards or backwards, in a temporal waltz. Always in perfect balance from whence it came. Time is but a measurement of beginnings and endings. As witnessed from past through present into future. It has a temporal fabric stitched together by eternity that gives rise to fleeting whispering seconds. Time observes each turn of an endless hourglass. As time and tide drift, they wait for no one, dictating durations with telltale ticks. As it dances unseen around a radiant star. Time does not exist, though it grows in darkness. Measuring each instant of every occasion. Escorting the sequence of sentient existence. All viewed through eyes of finite lives. Each day, each hour, each minute melts by. Becoming faint echoes from bygone memories. Singing serenades with aging affection. That speaks individually unto us all. Time only exists within human perception. In the reasoned roll of each mortal dice, marching ever onwards towards uncertain future, from when time was birthed, beside dawn of man.
Great reading right there, Arcana. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. I really liked the ticking of the clock in the background. That was a nice touch. And Diane, let's start with your thoughts.
This was powerful. This brought out so much for me of what time can be and what time is, and the twin of time. It had me guessing, what is the twin of time? What would be the twin of time? Nothing in my imagination of any sort compares to time enough to be a twin, because time is almost an entity by itself. Time exists, and time trickles, he says, to a melodious orchestra of events. And then going through a passage, whether forward or back, time, you know, like time doesn't go forwards or time doesn't go backwards. Time just goes from now till second by second by second. But we go forwards and we go backwards. So the time travel part of it had me going into a place of I'm caught up in this movement through time, and like he says, it's of beginnings and endings, and that's exactly what time is. Time never stops. Time goes on, even, you know, when we don't. Time goes on. I mean, it does. Time is a phenomenal concept, and where we can go with it in our minds is, well, that's time travel in itself. That's what I feel on this one.
I like that. Cool thoughts shared. And Gray, your thoughts?
Well, that was definitely a top shelf write, along with a top shelf read. You know, I really like the way he captures that man is the twin of time, because they were born together. You know, the dawn of man is the beginning of time, because we invented time. And I really like that aspect of his thought on time. So just beautifully crafted.
Absolutely. I have to agree. Well said there. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, what a philosophical, powerful right, you know, this is, you know. Each day, each hour, each minute melt by, becoming faint echoes from bygone memories. Sing serenades with aging affection that speaks individually unto us all. I just love that stanza, you know. He talks a lot about the technicalities of time, but, you know, in that particular stanza, we see the human, you know, our memories, our singing serenades, our aging, affection, that speaks individually onto us all. So you see the effect on the human, on us, you know, particularly in that stanza. That's why I picked it out. But, you know, all through, this is just an amazing, amazing write. And you know, the SoundCloud is just fabulous, with that music, that TikToking in the back, like you said, Pam, there. Just an amazing read and an amazing SoundCloud, too. But awesome, awesome write here by Artana Moore.
Absolutely, yes, it really was. And it definitely has amazing imagery in it. It's very intelligent. I really like what he has to show us about time. And, you know, as was mentioned, that time was birthed the same time that humanity was, because it's a human invention. I really like this all the way through, but especially time is but a measurement of beginnings and endings, as witnessed from past through present into future. It has a temporal fabric stitched together by eternity that gives rise to fleeting, whispering seconds. Wonderful lines there, beautifully written and very well done. And I'm just giving people a heads up that I will probably have some carryovers, which I will be putting on one of my break on through shows, either the one this week or the one a week from Friday. So just so people know that I do have a plan. And let's see what we have next. All right. Up next, we have Am I Really Here by Stuart Munro. And Gray, would you give that a read for us, please?
Absolutely. Am I really here? Or is this just what my brain tells me? If my brain can create my reality, why can't it create my time? I eventually time travel back to another planet. So in death, only scientists and doctors say the brain is dead. The brain may want them to think it's dead, but maybe it's time traveling in spiritual form, leaving only the brain flesh for us to bury or incinerate. End poem.
Great read there, Gray, and wonderful brevity by Stuart Munro. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Yeah, wow. Yeah, this is such an awful thought-provoking piece, you know. Yeah, what if, you know, brings up a deeper question, you know, about, I think, the soul and the human body, you know. You know, of course, he refers to the brain, but, you know, the brain is, you know, connects all of us. And I think that it has something to do with, you know, the brain and our human aspect, our human self versus the soul. It could be, you know, is the soul really something that exists? You know, can it travel? Can it go throughout time? What are we without our bodies? What are we? It can also bring up the question of after death, you know, where do we go to, you know, when our body dies? Do we travel through time? Do we go back in time? Does incarnation exist? This brevity brings up so many thought-provoking questions in my mind right now. It's just like just amazing. So
yeah,
a great, great write here.
Great comment, because that's one thing I really liked about this poem, is that it brought up a lot of questions. And I do think poetry should make us think. So well said there. And Diane, your thoughts?
Yes, this took me to Descartes. I think, therefore, I am. Am I really here because my brain says I'm here? You know, am I being fooled by my brain? am I actually really not here, but my brain is telling me that I'm here? I just love the game he's got going in my head. It's just, you know, only in death that scientists and doctors are the only ones to say the brain is dead. But what about us? Can we say if our brain is dead or if our brain isn't dead? And, you know, if it's only time travel, maybe if all we're doing is time travel, can our brain create for us? And really, if I'm traveling through time right now and my brain has somewhere for me to go in a spiritual form, I'm excited. I want to get there. I'm looking for
it.
So great, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I have to agree. Excellent comment. And Gray, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
You know, I'm with Diane on her comment. You know, it really speaks to whether you're really here or what's going on. You know, like your mind playing tricks on you. Is it really, are you where you think you are at this point in time, or are you on some other planet somewhere back in time? And I really liked it a lot. You know, I liked the thought process of being curious about what reality is. So just fascinating, right?
It really is. And great comment there. Wonderful observation. Yeah, I really liked this one. It was an excellent brevity. The first impression I got was the idea of someone who's in a coma and where their mind goes to, you know, when their body is still. But I think it also works well in the idea of traveling, astral travel, you know, like in your dreams. And I did really particularly like that line, those lines. So in death, only scientists and doctors say the brain is dead. The brain may want them to think it's dead, but maybe it's time traveling in spiritual form. And I really liked the idea of time traveling in spiritual. Wonderful lines and very well done. All right, and let's see what we have next. All right. Up next, we have Sounds of Space by Mike Britland. And Naomi, will you give that a read for us, please?
Yes. Sounds of Space. Somewhere out on the skyline, music paints a celestial timeline. Like the stars dancing smiles away, shooting stars fly by like a castaway. The colors of space make a tune like a guitar that was just attuned. The moon so bright they carry the melody, bringing the soul to dance heavenly. As one glides through the time stream, the sounds trance like a moon's beam. Moving through the body like a gentle wave, carrying the energy surrounding the rave. Like the sounds of the sea, they soothe, bringing the two to dance so smooth. As its tune travels far and beyond, it all started with a singular bond and poem.
Great read, Naomi, and excellent right there, Mike. And Gray, let's start with your thoughts.
You know, I liked it. I liked your read, Naomi. And, you know, somewhere out on the skyline, music paints a celestial timeline like stars dancing miles away, shooting stars fly by like a castaway. I mean, that's very visceral. And, you know, it really engages you throughout the poem where it ends with, like, the sounds of the sea, they soothe, bringing the two to dance so smooth. As its tune travels far beyond, it all started with a singular bond. Yeah, just an excellent rhyme and flow on that piece. Very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Diane, your thoughts?
Well, first, really enjoyed the rhyming and how, it, you know, it's not couplets, but it is, you know, every two lines. I enjoyed that rhythm and that tone and the mood, and also the fact that he's writing about the sound of time and the sound of space, because so many things move through space. You know, sound moves through space, smell moves through space, time moves through space. And he takes us on that trip of time moving through space and what it's like for him as a writer and the music that it creates for him, you know, space and time and the melody between the two is the music and it's dancing. And he's painted such a beautiful picture here of the beauty of going through time and space and how time goes through space. As one glides through the time stream, the sounds trance like a moonbeam. I mean, he's giving us a tone to traveling through time. Really well written.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I have to agree with you. This has a great rhyme and flow, wonderful imagery. I like how it's all about the experience of the continuous flux and the flow of time and music and how it creates this energy. I did particularly like that one part in the second to last stanza, moving through the body like a gentle wave, carrying the energy surrounding the rays. Excellent lines and very well done. And Naomi, you did a great read of that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, first of all, I just have to say, you know, Mike Britland, that was an honor to read that. It was such a delight and such soothing, you know, the rhythm and the rhyme of the whole piece. It just was so soothing in a way to read it. And, you know, yeah, like y'all said, you know, he marries you know, the music well with the idea of the time here and, you know, time traveling as music travels. And, you know, he also puts in the dance and, you know, the gentle wave and, you know, yeah, he comes back to dance in the end too. So just amazing, amazing write here by Mike Britland.
It really is. I have to agree. So wonderful comments, everybody. And all right. Up next, we have Own Your Responsibility by Rain 474. And it goes like this. The falling leaf of the autumn, never thinking to go back again, stuck in the rearview lane, but chooses to look forward and paint the roads in bright colors and color bright. The arms of the clock knows only one walk, be it good or bad, never turn back, catch what you have. Visiting the past paves path to the lost, choosing not to see what's the best, missing all that what's present. Time travel seems promising, the thought to correct at my wish, forgetting humans just always ruin, and it's too late when they discover it trying to be the manipulative king. Sometimes control shouldn't be ours. We too should learn to obey others, allowing the nature to create equilibrium, taking a back seat and relaxing for the retreat, making us to enjoy every moment with a cheese. Live for today. Time travel keeps you at bay. A lot is where yet to be explored. Why waste on what's past, ignoring what we can make best now? End poem. And Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, this is so true. You know, we're all seem to be stuck on a timeline for everything, you know, the next appointment, the next event, the next family gathering, the next, you know, and as he says also, you know, a lot of people, they get stuck in the past, you know, something bad happens to them or something and they just dwell on it. So, you know, it's very, you know, philosophical piece, very empowering piece, I find, you know, live for today. Yeah, that right there, live for today, such an important message, I think, you know, to everyone. So just amazing right here, Rain 474.
Absolutely, absolutely well said there. And Diane, your thoughts?
Well, I agree with Naomi. It was well said, Naomi. The place it takes us, and it is true. You're right. It's very true. It is our responsibility. We need to own our responsibility of how we treat time. And, you know, time is not something that we realize. I don't know when we realize it, and I don't know at what point in my life I realized it, but time is my responsibility. My time is my responsibility. Anyone else's time isn't, but my time is my responsibility, and it's like money in life. If I spend it properly, I'm going to be rewarded. And same thing with time. When I give in to my time and everything, and I wake up every day, and I'm every morning I go, I got another 24 hours. And to me, that's a miracle every day. So time for me is just a gift that I get every day when I wake up. And what I do with it is my responsibility. Great, right, Rain. Great message. And I'm really glad that you put this one in there.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Me too. And Gray, your thoughts?
You did a beautiful read on it, Pam. But, you know, I liked it, you know, like, you know, I agree with Diane's sentiments that, you know, we are responsible for our time. You know, every day is a gift, and how we choose to live that is, you know, how we treat time. And, you know, it should be treated with respect and reverence. You know, be grateful for every day that you have and every moment in that day that you have. So just a beautiful thought-provoking right on the subject of time and its role in our lives.
Absolutely. It really is. Yeah, it is. It's beautiful and it's thought-provoking. I did like how it is about living in the present and appreciating it and not being obsessed with the idea that of getting into the future or going into the past, because, you know, we should be instead is focused on our behavior now, knowing that we can't go back and change, you know, what is happening. So, you know, excellent, excellent write and very well done. Well, this has been an amazing show. I've enjoyed it very much. Everyone, please make sure to check out Fill My Eyes contest for The Art of Seduction, Black Tie Affair, and join us tonight, Wednesday, 10 p.m. Eastern U.S. time. And readers and commenters and poetry, always welcome. Also, make sure to join us at 12:30 a.m. Eastern U.S. time on Thursday for the Headliners Ball with Jeremy F., where he'll be headlining the poetry of Felon and Thomas B. And great show tonight. Thank you so much, Phil and Naomi, for being my co-host. Thank you to Sucker, Allison, Diane, and Gray for calling in. Thank you to Mike Britland and Robbie's Poetry for hanging on the board. To everyone who wrote for the show, was listening while it was on, or will be listening to the recorded version, we truly appreciate you all. And have a good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.